At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to Dealing Together. First caller?
I bought 3 sweaters to get the 4th free.
Oh, you got fleeced. Next caller?
I traded my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus and chose my plan.
That's not a bad deal.
It is not.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device. Subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour 2 on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Love to hear from you. You can tweet, email, you can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. You can also watch on Peacock. It's free. Download the app. And you can also listen on our great radio affiliates around the country. Once again, to update those who took part in the next great podcast contest, we had 1,800 entries. We are narrowing it down to the top 20. The top 10 make it into the semifinals. And then the winner I will go in business with, and I will be a producer and the financial backing for your podcast. Also, That Scene on Amazon Music. You can go there. My first episode is with Adam Sandler, and we talk about that scene in Happy Gilmore when he got into the fight with Bob Barker. And everything that went on behind it, setting that up, other actors they considered other than Bob Barker, the TV show host. But Sandler is the first episode, and other actors who are going to follow. Ralphie from A Christmas Story. Peter Billingsley, he's going to join us to talk about nearly getting his eye shot out with his BB gun. Yes, Paul.
That's a tough get. He doesn't like to talk about it. Doesn't do a lot of interviews. More of a producer guy, right?
Yes, he is. Good friends with Vince Vaughn. By the way, I sent you guys a picture of Vince Vaughn from Swingers, and I knew it. Every time I would see Joe Burrow, I'd go, he reminds me of somebody. And then there's the scene in the nightclub when they're dancing, and Vince Vaughn is there in the booth, and a young Vince Vaughn and Joe Burrow. Do you guys see it? Everybody agree, or was that a stretch on my part?
Baby faced and kind of a little sprinkling of the hair is up.
Yeah, see.
I thought you were talking about the other guy in the picture.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the other guy. I was like, oh yeah, that does kind of look like him.
Oh, that's not good.
No. He does kind of look like Sue as well, but he does look exactly like Vince Vaughn.
A young Vince Vaughn and Joe Burrow. Yes, McLovin.
I think Burrow looks like a 1980s bad guy in a teenage movie, like a Bill Zabka type. He looks like he'd be obnoxious, but he's not. But he comes off like he'd bully his.
Would he
brother.
Be in Cobra Kai?
Yeah, he'd totally be Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, has anybody watched that on Netflix?
Seton's been telling me all about it, how great Cobra Con, like, is it, it does it border on being bad, but it's great, Seton?
Well, no, it's like, I would say it's like 3 degrees away from being terrible, but somehow is amazing. It, like, it's full of all of this, like, hoke and like, just cheesy stuff, but they do it in such a great way that you're like, you, as soon as one ends, you're like, you can't wait for to watch another one. I'll rip off like 5 in a row. It's fantastic.
And original actors from Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
Yes, McLovin.
Don't do like, I'll watch 5 minutes of it and see, because you'll emerge like 3 days later. You can't stop binging.
Yeah, I don't. I there's certain ones that I have to be in the right mood, the right, you know, frame of mind to go, okay, now I'm going to watch that. Like, there's certain times you go, I don't want to watch something that's depressing. Like Succession is, it, you tune in because you're trying to see varying degrees of people that, you know, are despicable. And then you'll go, oh, I like him the best because he's not as despicable as everybody else. Yellowstone, same way. Everybody's somehow a bad person in there. That's like the new wave here. It's everybody's bad. But those are very successful shows so far. But yeah, it's called That Scene, Amazon Music. The first one's with Sandler. Will Ferrell talks about the streaking scene in Old School. Bryan Cranston talks about in great detail the final scene of Breaking Bad. So if you get a chance, I'm curious what you think of that. Very proud of that. McLovin, the poll question so far, the results?
Well, just to get clicks, we put up which Sunday-Monday game are you most looking forward to watch between the Chiefs-Ravens Monday night, Cowboys-Seahawks Sunday afternoon, or Packers-Saints. It's actually Chiefs-Ravens is edging out Cowboys-Seahawks.
Well, I understand that, you know, that you're watching the two teams that will probably compete to go to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I understand that the stakes are high, not as high as they'd be if it was in the postseason or even at the end of the regular season. Seattle and Dallas is really intriguing because Dallas coming off that win, Seattle's offense is completely different. Their defense isn't that good. Dallas's defense is typically overrated again, and you could have a big slugfest shootout there. But I am fascinated with Aaron Rodgers against Drew Brees only because of what Drew Brees did or didn't do against the Raiders on Monday night. And how is he going to respond and not have Michael Thomas there again? But what if he beats the Packers? What if he out-duels Aaron Rodgers? Then all of a sudden, what? Because we got to find a storyline. So if Drew Brees has a good game, we're like, no, we can't use that tired arm thing anymore. Rodgers not motivated any longer with chip on his shoulder after drafting Jordan Love. Yeah, Paul.
Right. In game 1 and 2, the Packers are cruising. Aaron Rodgers looks great. Everything's quiet. Nothing. No one's talking about the Packers.
No. You had a situation where Notre Dame had some positive tests, so their game against Wake Forest has been postponed. I did check in with a source that said the school had minimal positives the last 2 weeks, but as players play games, then go out, and that you have guys being guys, this was bound to happen. Better now than later, according to my source. It would have been hard for Notre Dame to have practiced this week. The ACC has planned for this with 2 bye weeks, plus the option of December 12th as a catch-up date if need be. The other conferences do not have this luxury, but the ACC did build this in. I don't know if the SEC did, but they probably did. But maybe that's 1 week. But the ACC, from what I'm told, they built this in because they were expecting some of their schools, some of their teams would not be able to play every single week. But the Pac-12, if they play, and certainly the Big Ten, they have no room for error, no margin for error. They're straight through all the way. Yes, Paulie?
Checking all the SEC team schedules, it appears that they all have 1 open week. Like Alabama does not play November 7th. So that would be a little bit of wiggle room in case an SEC team had a situation.
I mentioned this in the first hour. The NFL is really coming down hard on head coaches who aren't following rules and wearing face masks. And I said this about John Gruden after watching him on Monday night. I said, he's going to get fined. And he got fined $100,000. It was national TV. Sean Payton got fined $100,000. They fined 5 coaches, and then teams get fined $250,000 as a result. Because if you've been warned and then you don't, you know, adhere to what the rules are, then you're going to get fined and the team gets fined. So that's $350,000 that some of those teams and coaches got fined. The NFL is concerned about the optics here because the coach close-up is a staple of television broadcast, right? For better or for worse, those guys, many of which don't care about how they look, are the face of the league, and Andy Reid can fog up his visor, but the league is coming down so hard in this case, and if they want to talk about public safety, they feel that non-players better have masks, right? That may not be completely fair, but remember, it's a league that is constantly worried about its image. You have players on the bench who, I'm told, there's only two markets, two cities, I think it's Buffalo and San Francisco, where the players have to wear a mask on the sidelines. Have to. But if a coach is outdoors, everybody's already been tested, and he is speaking into a headset, and at sometimes he's got his play call sheet up there, I don't know how much interaction he has with players, but in comparison to the NBA, Frank Vogel, Mike Malone, they don't have a mask on last night. Now, they're in the bubble, but the players on the bench in the bubble, it appears most have a mask on. So that's, I was just trying to figure that out. Like, the NFL with players, some do, some don't. Coaches, everybody has to do it. With the NBA, coaches don't do it. Some players on the bench. I don't know if it's mandatory on the bench, but you'll find that a lot of those players, there's social distancing on the bench in the NBA. With football, they're high-fiving, they're hugging after a game, and then there's the actual play itself. And that's, we're going to talk to Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk about that. Yeah, Paul.
We sent a note to the NBA to ask what their rules were in comparison to the NFL's rules. Do you think with the NBA, they allow the head coach to have a little wiggle room because he needs to communicate, even though the stadium's not loud, it's basically quiet. But is that why maybe just the head coach who's standing up is allowed to be maskless because he needs to communicate? It would be tough without with a mask on.
But how's that any different than a football game?
I'm not sure.
And look, I'm not trying to stir up something. I just want to know that if we're going to fine these coaches $100,000 and teams $250K, but the NBA is not doing that. Baseball managers, you'll see them with mask on in the dugout. So just trying to figure out, you know, one is outside, one is inside the bubble. So we'll talk to Florio. Also, Blake Bortles gets signed by the Denver Broncos. And I just wondered this. And once again, I'm not trying to stir anything up other than I just ask a question. And I think they're legitimate questions. I don't troll you. I'm not trying to stir it up. There's no politics involved in this. If I'm Denver, why am I not bringing in Colin Kaepernick? If I'm bringing in Blake Bortles, why don't I at least bring in Kaepernick to see if he can play? I'm assuming he's better than Blake Bortles. And I know that Drew Locke is supposed to be your future. But that was just a question I had that if it didn't happen with Blake Bortles, then it's never happening. And I said at the time when Kaepernick was blackballed from the league, I said he'll never get another chance. And he hasn't. And I just wondered about that with the Broncos. Does John Elway, you know, at least bring him in and have them compete for that job? And that wasn't the case. Blake Bortles is your backup quarterback in Denver. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. Last hour, we found out that Gail Sayers, Hall of Fame running back for the Bears, passed away at the age of 77. There's certain athletes that have an impact on you when you're growing up. It's because, you know, your life is not complicated. You know, you're collecting trading cards. Like, all you care about is the lineup of your team, and you follow them, and you're listening on radio, and you're looking at the box scores. Like, you can't consume enough. And then I always got the Cleveland Browns games when I was growing up. So I'm very fortunate. I got to see some of the greatest running backs of all time. Jim Brown, Leroy Kelly, Ernie Green. And occasionally you would get that game where we got to see the Chicago Bears. And I got to see Gale Sayers. And this is, I'm probably 10 years old, maybe 11. And boy, that had an impact on me. Because I didn't know how somebody could run that way. He made you miss. And growing up watching football prior to that, you had guys who tried to run over you. Like, you go back to Jim Taylor. You know, they were running over you. Dave Osborne with the Vikings. Mark Van Egan of the Raiders. You know, you just had that kind of powerful running back. And this was different. Gale Sayers was different than any other running back I ever saw up until that point. And then OJ, late 60s, in the Rose Bowl against Ohio State, that's when I went, oh, my God. He's sort of doing what Gale Sayers did, but he's bigger. He's faster. But Gale Sayers was a special player, and his career cut short because of a knee injury, but did go into the Hall of Fame, passing away at the age of 77. Rick in Iowa joins us. Hey, Rick, what do you have for me today?
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good, Rick.
I am. You know, it's unfortunate with Gale Sayers passing, but I'm very passionate about Gale Sayers. And you've mentioned a lot of things that we're the same demographic age-wise that I know about. But a couple of things that I think are notable is, in my mind, Gale Sayers is the Sandy Koufax of the NFL. Two greats that careers were cut short that, you know, arguably considered two of the greatest ever.
Yep.
Another thing, Dan, out of Omaha, Nebraska, Gale Sayers grew up in the same neighborhood with the Gibson boys, Bob Gibson. And Omaha's not that big, but there's two of the greatest players for two different sports in the same city that grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, that I think is notable. And the last thing is, to this day, Gale Sayers still holds the state record in the long jump, 24.10.5, and that was a heck of a jump. As you know, Bob Beeman did it down in New Mexico, went like almost 9 feet or something like that elevated area. But Gale Sayers did that in high school.
All right. Well, thank you, Rick. Yeah. Mexico City, not New Mexico for Bob Beeman. But
the Olympics, not in Albuquerque.
No, they were not. But that's okay. I did not know that Bob Gibson and Gale Sayers grew up in Omaha at the same time. Yeah, Paul?
If you go on YouTube, it's easy to find Gale Sayers highlights, but it's fascinating to watch them playing football in Wrigley Field. There's just people standing against the ivy watching. There's like a dog and a guy walking around. It feels like it's a weird exhibition game.
And he was playing on such, and even when he got injured, it wasn't because of the turf. It was just the defensive back for the 49ers, the way he hit him, and he caught him right on his knee. And Sayers came back, I think, played one more year, but he was just never the same. And of course, you know, the movie Brian's Song about Brian Piccolo, the fullback or running back with Gale Sayers, and they developed this great friendship. The original Brian's Song is wonderful with James Caan, Billy Dee Williams, but Gale Sayers passing away at the age of 77. Jeremy in Texas. Hey, Jeremy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Possible poll question as well here. If the Philadelphia Eagles go 0-3 against Cincinnati Bengals,
ooh,
do you go with Hurts on week 4?
Well, let me see what happens to Wentz in this game. But, Jeremy, I do think it's a legitimate question. I don't want to put Jalen Hurts in there. If the Chargers are apprehensive about putting Justin Herbert in there because he's a rookie, Jalen Hurts, without an offseason to prepare, and you're going to put him in there because he's, let's face it, he still has the same offensive line that Carson Wentz is going to have in there. It's just Wentz seems a little lost here. Like, he just got to get his compass pointing north here and figure out, okay, let's go back to what you do really well. And then that's what they need to reemphasize with him, Doug Peterson. But if you lose to the Bengals and he doesn't play well, then you might sit him down for his own good because his footwork is horrible. And, you know, when you have any time a quarterback, a golfer, if you have surgery on your plant leg, and it affects you, it's either consciously, subconsciously, it's just there. And I think it probably affected Brady after he came back when he got injured against Kansas City in the opening week. Years ago, and you're planting, and so you're always feeling somebody around you, and Carson Wentz just doesn't look comfortable there. And I don't know, I mean, these guys think they're, you know, impenetrable, that they can run, and they're young, and then all of a sudden reality hits them, and usually it's a defensive lineman called reality, or a defensive back, and then you go, oh my God, I can't keep doing this. And it happens. Every quarterback you see. Now, we can look at Kyler Murray now. It happened to Cam Newton. You can look at Lamar Jackson, all of these guys, where you go, hey, it'll eventually catch up to you. You can't do this your entire career. Steve Young used to run all the time. Became one of the great pocket passers in NFL history. Michael Vick realized you couldn't continue to run. And, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, it's just, he's taken on those defensive players in the game against the Rams, and you're going, why? Self-preservation at that position. My God, self-preservation. And that's why Russell Wilson has never missed a game. Dak Prescott has not missed a game. You have to have self-preservation. And if I redo, I might not get that touchdown, but I'll live to see another day, another play. Josh Allen's going to learn this. Josh Allen will learn this and probably has learned or is learning here because he's got Aaron Donald coming up this weekend. Yeah, Paul.
One factor with the Eagles and Carson Wentz, in June of 19, he signed a contract that guarantees him $107 million. Yep, yep. They are locked into him till 2022. That's their earliest out to save the back 3 years of his contract.
Yeah, McLovin.
So they, I think, what if they play well against the Bengals? Are we going to overreact the other way and say Carson Wentz is fixed? Because then they got the 49ers, Steelers, and Ravens right on that.
No, they should beat the Bengals.
Right.
But if they don't, then I don't think we're going to overreact to say there's a real problem here. But if they do win, I'm not going to go, oh, Carson Wentz is all fixed. Nothing to see. Let's move on.
But you know how everyone else will be like, oh, he's fixed. And then it's going
to
be.
That's why we need to write down what people say, not just on this show, but other shows where they go, you said this in September. Now we're in November. And sometimes they're accurate. But a lot of times, remember when Leonard Fournette won the Heisman in September when he was at LSU? He didn't win the Heisman. But we love to hand it out. We love to go, he's the MVP. Like Russell, I pick Russell Wilson to be the MVP this year. Now I'm nervous because he's been really good and everybody's saying, Russ, he's leading candidate for the MVP. We need a new story. That's why Kyler Murray may have a better chance when it's all said and done. Yeah, McLevin.
Yeah, he's got to go wire to wire now.
That's hard to do.
That start is too good.
Yes, because we knew Lamar Jackson had a lot of talent. And then all of a sudden, he kept piling up those numbers, and then he stayed consistent, and then he won the MVP. I know at some point, Patrick Mahomes becomes an underdog story because he will have not won the MVP in a couple of years. And we go, man, he hadn't won it. Yeah, McLovin.
Same with Aaron Rodgers, seems like a bit of an underdog this year. Don't you think? Or...
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Let me take a break. We'll talk to Florio here. I got a few things to talk to Florio about, certainly with these coaches getting fined large amounts of money. And then MetLife Stadium, all of a sudden that playing surface is a real issue, apparently. So we'll talk to Florio about that. What do you do with an entire surface? And then we'll talk about the Broncos bring in Blake Bortles and don't even give Colin Kaepernick a look, which I found surprising. But we'll talk to Florio about that coming up next. 22 after the hour, this is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? And not a website, but a person, an actual person in your community. That would also do it for free. There is that scenario. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge you. Everything is free. No fee for you to find a job. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest to you, or download the Express Jobs app to get started. Wide range of opportunities, variety of industries, welding, sales, forklift operator, customer service. The team at Express is ready to help you or somebody you know find their next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job or maybe a full-time role, a new one, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express can be as easy as a phone call, or one application with Express Employment will put you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go into your job search alone. Visit ExpressPros.com. ExpressPros.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never see me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
Recap what happened to the Lakers last night. You got Game 4, Heat, Celtics coming up tonight. Notre Dame, Wake Forest has been postponed. The Chicago Bulls have hired Billy Donovan. Those are your headlines as we bring in Mike Florio, co-host of Pro Football Live. You can see it on Peacock, and he joins us on the program. Mike, let me start with these coaches who have been fined large dollar amounts here, and then their teams fined as well. I'm just trying to understand the difference between the NFL and the NBA, whereas NBA, players on the bench, they'll be wearing a mask, but the coach doesn't have to. But then we saw John Gruden and Sean Payton get fined this week. They are supposed to wear a mask, but the players on the bench, unless it's San Francisco and Buffalo, don't have to. So I'm trying to understand this. Why is it okay for some coaches in some sports and not in others?
Well, the NFL made the rule, Dan, that the coaches must have their faces covered, noses and mouths on the sideline. Now, that rule was conceived at a time when the NFL wanted to test everyone just three times per week. That has since become daily testing. And that's the philosophical question that keeps coming up. If everyone's being tested daily, why do the coaches have to wear a mask when none of the players are? It's a strange juxtaposition that we see during the games. The players are running around with no masks, and then the coach is supposed to have a mask on. And they haven't changed that rule. I don't think they are going to change that rule. They expect the coaches to comply. And the five most egregious offenders are the ones that got hit for $100,000 and their teams for $250,000. And they wanted to hit them hard enough so they don't just view it as a cost of doing business. So they don't just write the check for all 15 remaining games and say, now leave me alone and let me go not wear my mask in peace. They want to get their attention, and I think they're going to continue to be aggressive about it if the coaches don't comply.
Explain to me about the playing surface at MetLife Stadium with the Jets and Giants, and what is the biggest concern?
Well, what happened during the 49ers-Jets game on Sunday, a lot of lower leg injuries, some season-ending injuries, including one suffered by Nick Bosa, the 49ers defensive end, and I think that really changes that team dramatically to not have him. The complaints began to come from individual 49ers players saying that there's something wrong with the turf, that their foot gets stuck in the turf. And I started to poke around. The Giants and the Steelers had played there 6 days earlier. They had no issues with the turf. I asked someone from the Jets. The response was, we were too busy getting our faces kicked in to notice anything wrong with the turf. But the 49ers had the issue. They had the complaint. The league's position is these fields are certified. They're certified by an independent inspector. They're certified by the teams. Well, to me, that's not good enough, Dan, because we've seen plenty of crappy fields over the years that have been certified as being suitable for play. Remember the FedEx field surface, yeah, the day they had to paint the dirt green for a playoff game, the game where Robert Griffin III's ACL finally went. So I don't accept that as being dispositive. And the NFLPA has echoed the 49ers' concerns that maybe we should take a look at this. What's the harm in reconfirming that everything is fine with this playing surface? And it feels like something more than just sour grapes by the 49ers. There are enough guys complaining about it to at least raise the question of why not take a closer look and make sure there's nothing wrong with this new playing surface.
Yeah, but what can you do? Can the Niners refuse to play the Giants this weekend?
That's what makes it so fascinating. Usually what happens is the road team, if they have a problem with the field, they're not coming back for the rest of the year. They may not be coming back for 8 years if it's an interconference game. Here they are 7 days later back on the same field, and the Giants have come out strong. Joe Judge, the head coach, has said, we practiced there throughout training camp. We have no issues at all with this, and I don't think the NFL is going to give them any relief. I mean, we've seen in the past where a field has gotten so bad, a team's had to tear it up and replace it. At New England at one point, they had to get rid of the grass and put down field turf. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think the 49ers are just going to have to deal with it. And I don't think the NFL is going to concede that there was an issue with the turf. They say it's fine, and they're going to go forward, and we'll see what the 49ers players have to say after playing there again this weekend.
The week two overreactions are always interesting because Cam Newton, now we want to sign him up to a long-term contract in New England, and Drew Brees is ready to join you on Football Night in America sooner than we thought.
During the season.
Yes, yes. Of those two storylines right now, if I said I'm going to talk to you in November about Drew Brees and his performance and Cam Newton and his performance, how different would it be, will it be, in November when we're talking about these two quarterbacks?
Oh, I don't think it should be different because I think both guys played consistently with who they are. The question with Cam Newton is he healthy? And that's why he was looking for so long for a job. Teams weren't sure whether or not he was healthy, and teams weren't in a position to find out. The Patriots eventually took the leap of faith and decided to roll the dice, and they were willing to upend their quarterback depth chart for Cam Newton. See, that's the problem. Even though he's better than a lot of quarterbacks, what teams out there were willing to upend their depth chart if Cam Newton shows up and is instantly better than the person in whom they invested a top 10 pick or invested $30 million per year, whatever the case may be? All of a sudden, you got a split in the locker room where you got guys saying, why in the hell is Cam Newton not the starter? So that's the situation you're in if he ends up being healthy. You're not even sure he's going to be healthy. So let's see how this plays out. He's run the ball a lot. He's been in harm's way. We've seen that from him in the past. And what's happened in the past? He's been injured. And for Drew Brees, what we've seen throughout his career is what he's doing. He's running the offense, and he runs the offense very well. They didn't have Michael Thomas this week, and it showed. And until Michael Thomas comes back, I think we withhold judgment on whether or not Drew Brees is done.
I'm still trying to figure out Anthony Lynn, who I do love. You know, I watching Hard Knocks, I loved his personality. And maybe I shouldn't be surprised with his reaction to Justin Herbert, where, he was asked about, well, who's your starter? And he goes, Tyrod Taylor is. Justin Herbert is a backup here. That's a pretty good audition by Justin Herbert. So why are the Chargers apprehensive to turn it over to him?
Yeah, that really raises the bar for the starter if that's what your backup does. And I watched that game. Justin Herbert was incredible. He's almost like – he looked like Philip Rivers, but like in one of those video games where if you complete 10 passes in a row, like your player gets supersized. I mean, he's a giant. He put Damian Wilson on his ass on the sideline. He runs it well. He had a fake –
pitch at one point. And he froze Frank Clark and ran right by him. The guy can do it all. He hustles. There was a play where Austin Eckler was running the ball 10 yards downfield. Herbert took off sprinting just to kind of hang around, like crashing the boards. Like, you never know what's going. When does a quarterback ever do that? This kid gets it. And I think that what the Chargers are doing, they're playing the 100% card. Tyrod Taylor plays when he's 100%. He just won't be 100%. And by the time he is 100%, Justin Herbert will be entrenched as the starter. And he's got an easy game coming up this week against Carolina. And then it's on the road against hashtag Tommy and Drew Brees back-to-back weeks. What a contrast that is. This great young quarterback against the two oldest guys in the league at quarterback. But I think he's going to get some more chances to show what he can do. And I was amazed with how good he was. To get the tap on the shoulder a minute before the game and to play like he did was incredible.
When does Tua make his debut?
He should be. Why isn't he playing now? Right, the hip's fine. He was completely off the injury report last week. He's not getting any treatment on the hip. We already see Joe Burrow, and he's passed the eyeball test. He's been great for the Bengals. We see Herbert. I mean, history would suggest that Tua is going to be the bust out of the three. When have there been three top six quarterbacks and they all end up being great? If I'm the Dolphins, I want to find out what this guy has. Every game that you let the guy play now makes him better in the future. Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't going to be the quarterback next year. Tua's going to be the quarterback. I'd want to get him on the field. And at some point, the owner's got to make that call and say, we invested in this guy for the future. Let's get him ready for the future by putting him on the field in the present.
Talking to Mike Florio, co-host Pro Football Talk Live. You can watch that on Peacock. I'm with you on the Broncos situation that you bring in Blake Bortles. And if there ever was a situation where if Colin Kaepernick was going to get at least a look, it would have been then, in my opinion, and he doesn't even get a look because I don't think there's any harm in just saying, let's bring them both in and let them compete for this backup job unless John Elway says, you know what, if we bring him in, are we willing to let him win the job? Because, you know, Drew Lock is their future. So I don't know if they looked at this the way the Patriots would have with Cam to a lesser degree. If he comes in and he's not your starter and then he's your backup quarterback, is that good for business here with the development of Jarrett Stidham? But with Kaepernick, there's far more to it. Why didn't the Broncos bring him in?
Well, why doesn't anybody bring him in? Why hasn't his phone rung in 4 years now? And, you know, there's so many narratives out there. He only wants to be a starter. He wants $20 million a year. He doesn't want to be a backup. He doesn't want to be on a practice squad. I mean, the Eagles are giving Josh McCown $12,000 a week for a no-show job. Just stay in Texas, keep working out, and if we need you, we'll call you. Here's 12 grand a week for your trouble. And if any of those narratives are true, why won't one of these teams call his bluff? Just call him up and say, hey, how would you like a no-show job with us for 12 grand a week? Stay in shape. And if we get in a COVID-19 pinch, we'll have you on our roster. Why not do that? I mean, no one will call him on these things that people think are the impediments to him taking a job in the NFL. And with the Broncos, there's a history there, Dan. They tried to trade for him in 2016.
Yeah.
He refused to reduce his $12 million guaranteed salary. And then in 2017, once the kneeling started, John Elway was, well, he had his chance last year, so we're not interested this year. So I'm not surprised the Broncos have shunned this guy. They're one of the original Kaepernick shunners. But this bigger picture, you know, there was that period of time in June where people were like, damn, this guy was right all along with the reasons why he was protesting and the things he was trying to tell us. And it felt like there was some momentum, and then it all just disappeared. And I think this isn't the final nail in the coffin. This is the extra nail. This is the reminder that no one is going to call this guy. And with each passing day, with each passing game, it's easier to justify it because you say, well, he hasn't played in 3.5 years. Yeah, he hasn't played in 3.5 years because you blackballed him.
Should I buy into the Raiders?
Let's see what happens this weekend in New England. I think it's too early to tell. You never know early in the year how good the teams are that you've beaten. They took it too deep into the game with the Panthers week one. And if the Saints really are on the verge of maybe seeing their run end, we don't know how good the Raiders are. Let's see what they can do against Cam Newton.
You're a buzzkill.
Well, but I'm a realist.
No, that doesn't help. We're supposed to have hot takes. I'm reminded that every day. Like, you got to have more hot takes. I'm like, I don't have hot takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot takes eventually put you in a spot where, you know, those dreams when you're like walking through the grocery store naked, you know, you feel that way with your takes. So I've learned the hard way too. I've walked through many a grocery store naked, figuratively, over the years.
What was your Super Bowl picks?
What was it? I've already forgotten. I love a good, people say, what do you root for? I root for a good story. And what better story than the Patriots and the Buccaneers? So I don't know how I feel about the Buccaneers after two games, but I think the Patriots are better than we expected them to be. And if they keep Cam Newton healthy, they're going to be a factor. Think about some of these playoff games we can have. If the Patriots and the Chiefs cross paths in the postseason, Patriots and the Ravens, I mean, if Cam Newton can stay healthy, this Patriots team is not a team to overlook.
But who do you like in the division?
And I still like the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
I think the Bills got to deal with the Patriots twice, week 8 and week 16, and those will be some great games. But they shouldn't have been in a position to win that game on Sunday night. That's the combination of Bill Belichick and Cam Newton. And frankly, they outsmarted themselves down at the goal line. They don't call the timeout when they should have. I don't know if you saw the clip of Bill Belichick's press conference after the game. It was beautiful, and it's a new way to avoid a question. If someone asks you a question you don't want to answer, you just sit there and say nothing. And after about 30 seconds, they'll move on to the next question. It's perfect. I'm going to have to try it out somewhere. But, they should have called timeout. They maybe should have passed the ball at the goal line. Give Cam Newton multiple options. Don't just give him one option in that position. But they could have won that game in Seattle. So I think they're going to be really good this year, and I think they're going to win the division.
But also, when do you discuss a contract with him? Because people want to do it now. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it now if I'm the Patriots.
He said yesterday, I'm fine. It's not my focus. You know, Dan, for him to make the full $7.5 million this year, he essentially has to be the regular season MVP and the Super Bowl MVP. Those aren't the firm requirements, but as a practical matter, that's what he's got to do. And if that happens, that $7.5 million will be the best investment in the history of American, maybe worldwide sport, to get that Super Bowl for the $7.5 million they'd have to pay Cam Newton. And then you worry about it next year. And the beauty of the contract is they can use the franchise tag on it next year. There wasn't a commitment to give that up as part of the deal. And that's the wisdom of just letting it simmer, letting it sit, wait until he's at the low point of his expectations and he'll take anything he gets. That's when the Patriots swooped in and got the deal done.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing anything. And I would probably look at franchising him. But, if he's not concerned about it, I'm sure Bill Belichick is not concerned about it either. Mike, great to talk to you as always. We appreciate your time. Thank you, bud.
All right, Dan. Have a good day, buddy.
That's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We'll come back. Your phone call is coming up right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? And not a website, but a person, an actual person in your community. That would also do it for free. There is that scenario. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge you. Everything is free. No fee for you to find a job. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest to you, or download the Express Jobs app to get started. Wide range of opportunities, variety of industries, welding, sales, forklift operator, customer service. The team at Express is ready to help you or somebody you know find their next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job or maybe a full-time role, a new one, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express can be as easy as a phone call, or one application with Express Employment will put you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go into your job search alone. Visit expresspros.com. Expresspros.com. Times change. We started out, we were doing the show in my attic. That was for 3 years. Graduated to a man cave of sorts. We were above a bar. And then this man cave. Times change, things change, people change. One thing that doesn't change, the great taste of Miller Lite.
Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff that you don't want. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Taste like Miller time. You know, that summer afternoon, we're going to be coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Miller Lite gets delivered right to your door. MillerLite.com/Patrick. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories, 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
We're just looking at video. Last night's game, Jamal Murray has an elbow that grazes LeBron James' whiskers. Not even his chin, his whiskers. And LeBron goes down in a heap. See, that's where, if you're an official, that you have to say, LeBron, you're too big to go down like that. Do we blame all of this on Vlade Divac? Is flopping, did Vlade Divac bring flopping to America? Because it felt like it came from soccer, but when Vlade came here, it felt like Vlade was the first to do it. Yeah, Paul.
Duke basketball sold charges in the 90s, similar to when Vlade showed up. It was probably simultaneously.
Well, I don't know if Danny Ferry was, you know, flopping when he was with Duke. So if I do Shane Battier.
Yeah, Battier was a master.
But I thought Vlade was the first to do it. Yeah, Seton.
If you Google who started flopping in the NBA, guess the first name that comes up. At least for me, it did.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, there's guys who offensively sold fouls by flailing their arms in the air.
That is such a nice way of saying he's offensively sold fouls.
He's a regular guest on the Dan Patrick Show.
Reggie Miller?
Yeah.
No, Reggie didn't bring flopping. He gave overreacting.
I get Bill Laimbeer as being one of the people who started flopping.
Okay. It felt like it was Vlade who actually fell down. Like if he was going to be if you're teaching a master class in flopping, I'd have Vlade in there. Yes, McLovin.
There's apparently a Sports Illustrated article in the 50s about Frank Ramsey. I don't even know who he is. He's a good player. Inventing flopping.
Frank the Flopper Ramsey? Yes.
From Kentucky, top pick.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And
but
he flopped?
Those guys, that's what he said. He said that, the NBA came out and wrote a strong letter saying you have to stop doing that.
So Frank Ramsey is but the that first was, to flop.
In 1958 or something.
Yeah, well, that was well before Vlade Divac.
They didn't flop like guys flop today, right?
No. That far, far more theatrical now. But it feels like Duke, they pretty much grabbed it and made it theirs. Yeah, Paulie.
Selling fouls to get injury calls and get fouls. Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge was really good at it with the Celtics. When he would get hit on a pick, he would scream and cry to the refs. I wouldn't call it flopping, but he would sell contact.
Well, he once got bit on his finger by Tree Rollins.
Supposedly bit. No.
So, like, you can't fake that when somebody bites your finger.
He bit himself and then sold
it. Oh, is that what it is? Yes, McLovin.
I was so confused by that as a kid. Why did Tree Rollins, who's so much bigger, need to bite him? Shouldn't Danny Ainge have bitten Tree Rollins?
I think it was in the bottom of a scrum, and then he just bit Ainge's finger. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of things. There's grown men who grab each other in the groin when they're in the pile. Like, explain that. Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a couple of comments. The first one is on Notre Dame. They have seven players or so that got COVID. And they're a small university. That's kind of shocking that none of these other universities have hardly anything. I'm not sure what the integrity is on going with these bigger universities out there.
Yeah, well, I don't know if everybody is disclosing all the numbers they're supposed to disclose, but what else on your mind? Oh, man, Marvin hung up on him. He had been waiting for an hour and a half. Come on, Marv. Chris in Maryland. Hey, Chris, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, what's going on?
Hey, bud.
Hey, I wanted to ask a sort of a broadcast-related question. So, you know, if you think in football, if you're watching the NBC or the CBS or the Fox game, it's really simple in terms of it's a game. There's, like, not a lot of super fancy production. And then they've got, you know, two great folks on the booth and someone on the sideline. But you put on this Monday night game on ESPN, and it's like a game show. Like, they got the folks in the coats and these crazy, like, game show graphics. And it just seems to me that, like, some of the audience is going to transfer from one broadcast to the next So I just don't understand why ESPN feels like they got to put on this super, like, show and not just show a really good game. And I'm just sort of curious about your take on that.
Well, they haven't had a very good schedule. Thank you, Chris. And they have tried to reinvent Monday Night Football. And I kept saying, and I've said it, I even said it to the people, you know, in power. John Skipper, you know, I said, just do the game. Like, you're not going to have Howard Cosell. There's no Howard Cosell here. Because I remember, you know, I was told by upper management that they were thinking of putting Stephen A. Smith in the booth. And I said, no. He does what he does. He does it well. Don't try to make this Monday Night Football of the 70s. Just, if you do it in a way, like, you draw more attention to what you lack when you try to make it something that it's not. Or you're trying to be somebody you're not. You can have fun with it, but there's so much that goes into the build-up to Monday Night Football. It's really hard for Monday Night Football to live up to the amount of airtime that is spent on that. Sunday night, that's the best broadcast that you have. Al and Chris, they don't have bells and whistles. They just do it. They do it professionally. They do it well. And that should be pretty much the blueprint when you're doing a game. Just do it professionally. Let the game be the star. Final hour coming up.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.